with head of white hair and dark black skin, he stood up and he said with as much strength as he could muster, it says, and it came to pass 85 times in the Bible. Well, the class started to laugh a little, thinking that old Mr. John's lack of memory was getting the best of him. When the snickering stopped, he said, at age 30, I lost my job with six hungry mouths and a wife to feed. I didn't know how I was going to make it. At age 40, my eldest son was killed overseas in the war. It knocked me down. At age 50, my house burned to the ground. Nothing was saved out of the house. At age 60, my wife of 40 years got cancer. It slowly ate away at her. We cried together many a night on our knees in prayer. At 65, she died. I still miss her today. The agony that I went through in each of these situations was unbearable. And I wondered, where was God? But each time I looked in the Bible, I saw one of those 85 verses that said, and it came to pass. And I felt that God was telling me my pain and my circumstances were also going to pass, and that God would get me through it. And you know, sometimes life can be very discouraging. Sometimes things can happen that we don't even understand why they happen. And we can be going through hardships, and we can go through trials, and it can become very defeating and very discouraging. So I want to preach a message from these two verses right here, defeating discouragement. And I want us to first of all look in verse 6, and it's in the context of the verses that we read before here. And remember, it's the context of a church, a people who were scattered abroad because of persecution, forced to leave their homes. And he says in Peter says in verse 5 that you're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. All right, so what's the context? Their faith in Christ unto salvation, they're secure, they're ready to be revealed in the last time. And he says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. That's a good thing. Though now, for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The manifold means many, or many that are made known. Temptations refers to trials or testings. And so he says, you got something you're looking forward to. Verse 4 talks about the inheritance that is incorruptible. And he says, you greatly rejoice in those things, though now, for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And the principle that we want to learn from this is the fact that life can be discouraging. Life can be discouraging. And remember that this was written to saints who were persecuted, saints who were forced to leave their homes. It was written against the backdrop of pain and suffering. And Peter is encouraging these saints to keep the right view. They can have victory, even in the midst of suffering and trial. But what is it that can cause life to be discouraging? What kinds of things are there that can really bring discouragement to life? One of the things that we might say can bring discouragement to life is the road that we have to travel in life sometimes. The road that we are on and the road that we must travel sometimes can be hard and be discouraging. If you look in Numbers chapter 21, the book of Numbers, in chapter 21, we look at verse 4. This is the nation of Israel after they left Egypt, and they're in the desert, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Here's an illustration. I simply use this verse to give an illustration of the fact that the road that we travel sometimes can bring discouragement. And these, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the hardness of the way that they had to travel. And sometimes Sometimes we have to go through things that wouldn't be of our own choosing, and they're hard things, but it's a road that we must travel. And sometimes God puts us on that road, but other times the road we travel is a road that we've made for ourselves. Our poor choices have ended up taking us down the road that we're on. And our all-consuming thought during those times often is, I got to find a way to get out of this. But the problem is that all too often we end up making things worse when we try to manufacture our own path and fix the mess that we've gotten ourselves into. It happens a lot. Because of our poor choices, we find ourselves in a predicament. And we think, I got to get out of this. And so we're trying to manufacture a plan and come up with some way that's going to get us out of this problem that we found ourselves in. But it comes at the cost of what we ought to be doing, and that's honoring God. You know what I'm saying? And we make a compromise. Well, I have to get out of this problem. And so, you know, I'm going to have to miss church here, you know, because I got to deal with this thing. But often we make it worse for ourselves by continuing to make poor choices rather than honoring God. Does that make sense? And so the road that we travel sometimes is our own problem, our own making, but sometimes the Lord allows us to go down a hard path. Like these saints in 1 Peter, to whom that Peter was writing. I am sure that this persecution they faced was hard. It wasn't necessarily their own choice. It was a road that God allowed them to go down. And you can imagine there must have been a lot of sorrow accompanied with it. Could you imagine the government forcing you to either convert or to change and recant your beliefs or suffer the consequences and the persecution the government would give? Being forced to flee from your homes, being forced to leave the country, or being forced to go farther, deeper into the woods of Alaska just so that you could find some freedom. You know? You can imagine how hard life would all of a sudden be. Things would change. This is the backdrop under which Peter's writing to these people. And the road of life for them was hard. And you know, I'd imagine that some of them lost loved ones along the way because of persecution. Sometimes life can be discouraging because of the road that we're on. Sometimes life can be discouraging because of the burdens that we bear. In Nehemiah chapter 4, if you look over there in Nehemiah chapter 4, I'm just going to go ahead and read it. If you're not there, you can just listen along. In Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 10, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And here Nehemiah is trying to do a work to try to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But look, he says here that the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Now, this is a physical thing, but sometimes this can be a spiritual thing. The strength to bear burdens in life can run out, and it can cause discouragement. You know, you think about the church fire. Something like that is a great burden, and it could be something that could become very discouraging and very defeating. That mixed in with bearing the burdens of the saints of God can become overwhelming if the view is not right, if the focus is not right. You know, as a pastor, folks, having full knowledge that sometimes the things that you try to do are going to be resisted by some, knowing that at times people will sit in criticism and even disparage you and your family with their words, can be discouraging. When all you want to do is just please God, and all you want to do is just glorify the Lord and be right with Him, people's words And people's criticisms and people's attitudes can be very discouraging. And they're burdens that have to be borne. And sometimes bearing burdens can be discouraging. You've all heard of George Whitefield. He was an English evangelist back in the 1700s. And he learned that it was more important to please God than to please men. And knowing that he was doing what was honoring the Lord kept him from discouragement when he was falsely accused by his enemies. And at one point in his ministry, George Whitefield received a vicious letter accusing him of wrongdoing. And his reply was brief and courteous, and it said this, "I thank you heartily for your letter. As for what you and my other enemies are saying against me, I know worse things about myself than you will ever say about me. With love in Christ, George Whitefield." He didn't try to defend himself. He was much more concerned about pleasing God and doing what God wanted him to do. And really, that's the right focus and the right view when there are burdens to bear. Sometimes the road we travel in life brings discouragement. Sometimes it's the burdens that we bear, but other times discouragement can come when there's a delay in the fulfillment of desires. Maybe there's a desire to have children. Maybe there's a desire for a spouse. Maybe there's a desire even to see somebody come to Christ that you have invested so much time into and so much prayer into, and it just doesn't seem like it's going to happen. And it can seem hopeless. And we feel like, you know, what's the point? What's the use? Look with me at Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. I want you to look with me at verse 12. "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." And you know, we can have desires in life that are legitimate desires, and for some reason God is not allowing or letting those desires to be fulfilled. And if the focus is wrong, and if we get focused on the fact that these desires are not being fulfilled, it can become very discouraging. And we can think, like, what's the point? What's the use? What good is it? And we can become in despair. Like, is it ever going to happen? And sometimes that can be a discouragement. And so there are lots of things, and we could probably go on and on and on about things in life that make it discouraging. And life can be discouraging. But in verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 1, we see that there is a way to have joy and keep from being discouraged. It can be a real issue in the day that we live in. It's such a wicked world. And we have a desire to please God and a desire to do right. And there's just wickedness all around, and it never stops. And it can be discouraging. But the Bible gives us a way to have joy and have peace and keep from being discouraged because of circumstances. In verse 7, he says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know how you have peace and how you have joy? And how can you still have joy and have victory in spite of discouragement? By understanding that there is always a spiritual good to be found in every circumstance of life. He says here, the trial of your faith, this trial, this hardship, these manifold temptations or hardships or adversities or sufferings, he says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. And the purpose is so that your faith will be found unto praise and honor and glory. There's always, listen, in every hardship and trial, there's always a spiritual good. But so often the discouragement comes because people don't look at it that way. All they see are the circumstances. All they see are the unfulfilled desires. All they see are the hardships and the burdens that they bear. And they don't see it from spiritual eyes. That there's spiritual value here. Eternal value here. And it's for eternal good and spiritual good in every circumstance of life. I've said it many times in relation to this fire. God didn't allow this to happen simply so that we can have a new building, so that we can have some nice things over there. That's not the reason. The reason is spiritual. The reason is to number one, test our faith, but then number two, to anticipate what God wants to do. And He's already providing for the future, for what God wants to do in this place, through ministries, through your investment into other people's lives. There's spiritual good and spiritual value in every circumstance of life. You know, you break your leg, you have knee problems for months and months and months, there's always spiritual good at the heart of it. You have financial problems that seem like they're going to drown you. You better wake up that there are spiritual good, there's spiritual good that needs to be accomplished in all of that. You have unfulfilled desires. Things that you long for, but it doesn't seem like it's happening, there's spiritual value there. God is trying to do something of spiritual good. See, if we just focus on the circumstance and the burden and the hardship and whatever the thing is that's there, and all we see is the struggle and the hardship that it causes in life, we miss out on the value. Look what he says there. It's more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, than pure gold that's been tried in a furnace and it's been purged and cleansed, and now it's pure gold. The trial of your faith is more precious than that. It's spiritual. We have trying times in the Christian life, but there's always spiritual good to be found. And you know, the devil desires to defeat and to discourage you through the circumstances or the unfulfilled desires. He wants to discourage you. Because if the devil can get you focused on the circumstances and discourage you and get you defeated, he then makes you basically useless for the Lord, for His honor and His glory. And if he can get somebody down in the dumps, and mopey, and droopy, you know, and woe is me, and my lot in life is so bad, and get you focusing on those things, and not on the victory that is in Christ, he makes you worthless for the Lord. You can't bring glory to God because of the defeat. But we are more than conquerors in Christ through Him that loved us. And you know, when we realize that the trying of our faith in God is precious and valuable for eternity, and then we remember that God is always in control and that there's a great purpose in store, that helps keep the perspective right. And you know, if we added to that, if we are continually surrendered to the will of God, if we are continually yielded to the will of God in our life, no matter what the trial is that comes along, we can place it in His hands and say, Lord, I'm yours. And if this is what you want from me, then I know that you have a purpose in it, and I trust you, and I believe you. Do what you want in me. And if I need to wait longer for this thing that I desire, or if you don't want me to have it at all, then that's okay. I trust you. Lord, I've been praying for a long time for this person to be saved, and I've been investing myself into them. Lord, you got to do something. Lord, I know that you are greater than that person or any other wall or obstacle that they build up. God, you've got to tear it down. You've got to win them. And be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap, if you faint not. So this perspective and this spiritual view and these spiritual eyes and a yieldedness to the will of God helps bring victory in spite of circumstances. We can have joy and keep from being discouraged. In verse 5, I know you're going to be surprised by this, but I'm actually almost done. After this morning's message, you'll be like, nah, you're lying. No, I'm not. Verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He says there, we are kept by the power of God. You know what that word means, kept? It means to be a watcher. It means to be a guard. It means to hem in, to protect. We're kept, we're protected, we're watched, we're guarded by the power of God. And what could be more secure than to be protected by the power of God? There's no greater power. I think that sometimes we lose touch with what it means to live by faith. And we can lose touch with faith by a lack of use. You know, we've got everything in this world. And we've got good jobs, and we've got homes, and we've got cars, and we've got food aplenty. We've got everything. And sometimes we forget to live by faith. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Christian life begins in faith. It goes through on in faith, and it ends in faith. It's all about trusting the Lord, and we can lose sight or lose touch with living by faith because of a lack of use. And so, sometimes the Lord allows a hard road or allows a burden that is almost unbearable, or delays in fulfilling some desires to get us to get our eyes back on Him and start living by faith again. But instead of being discouraged, we understand that we're kept by the power of God. We're watched and guarded and protected by God's great power, and there is no greater power. God wants us to be rich in faith. Faith in Him. And so sometimes those fiery trials come, and they're there, listen, to produce more faith. That our faith might be what? Look at verse 7. That our faith might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When Christ appears, that will be found, our faith will be found unto honor and glory, His honor and His glory. And the conclusion is this, that many trials and fiery trials are actually opportunities to praise the Lord through Him in faith. Your trial is not to hurt you. Your trial is not to discourage you. It's actually an opportunity to praise the Lord. He says in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness. We're burdened through manifold temptations. And understanding that the trial of this faith is more precious than gold, it has spiritual value, and it becomes an opportunity to praise the Lord, not an opportunity for the devil to trip you up and discourage you. And actually, with that mindset, praise becomes an aid or a help to overcome discouragement. To praise God actually helps defeat discouragement in life. Lord, thank you for what you want to do in me. And this is a hard trial to bear, but you know what? I am thankful that you care about me enough to work in my life because I don't deserve it. That you care about me enough to try to do something to make me into something that is pleasing in your sight. I praise you. And that helps defeat the discouragement. Praise God. Why? Because you're saved, verse 5, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Praise God for your salvation. Praise God that you got a home in heaven, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Praise God that you're protected by His great power, verse 5. This trying time, we can also praise Him that this trying time is only for a season. He says in verse 6, though now for a season, if need be. We find in other places in the Scriptures that our light affliction, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. This light affliction, this trial, or whatever it is that you might be going through, it has eternal value, and it's only for a season. We've got all kinds of things to praise God for, don't we? And if we get the right perspective on things and the right perspective on circumstances in life, we can really see that, you know what, there's really nothing to be discouraged about. Yeah, it's hard, but God's power is greater. And I'm in His hands, and I've got eternal blessings and a place in heaven reserved for me. And God loves me, and He is good to me. I have nothing to be discouraged about. That's a great admonition and a great reminder, because life can be discouraging at times. But you've never been forced to leave your home, and you've never been persecuted, at least yet anyway, by a government. You've never had to go without. God is great. God is good, and He loves us. And actually, we have all kinds of things to praise Him about. And so this portion of Scripture is about defeating discouragement. You got to have the right perspective. You got to have the right view. And that's what Peter is instructing and encouraging these people in. Against the backdrop of suffering and pain, keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't allow Satan to defeat you and make you worthless, essentially, for the cause of Christ because of discouragement. Because those circumstances, they're for a season. And God has a great purpose in store. Amen? Look up. Rejoice. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this encouragement and this instruction and a short, simple thought this afternoon. But the fact is that life can be discouraging. And if we're not careful, if we're not watchful, we can find ourselves defeated, and we can find ourselves down in the dumps. We can find ourselves focused on ourselves and not on what You want to be doing in our life. And having the right perspective and keeping our eyes on the Lord helps defeat discouragement. And we find that actually our trials are opportunities to praise Him, opportunities to praise the Lord. And they don't have to be opportunities for defeat and discouragement. Bless Your people. Help us to keep our eyes on You. Father, we ask that You be pleased with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you for your attention. And Lord bless you this week. Have a good week. We'll see you again on Wednesday. And we'll look forward to being together again. Amen. All right. Thank you. You are dismissed.